The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me." Today we're going to talk about how did Yeshua accomplish what he did. Overview: there's a lot of confusion about who Yeshua, not Jesus, is and how he accomplished what he did. We will note that Yeshua is the firstborn of creation and Yah's executive assistant. We will note that he was born of a virgin and therefore a son of Adam with authority. It will be pointed out that he became king because men with authority proclaimed him king, and that he became the offering for sin because he was declared the Lamb of Yah and declared the bread and wine as representing his body and blood. He became the offering for atonement because he was sent outside the city walls and his blood fell on the Ark of the Covenant. We note that his name, Yeshua, means Yah is salvation, and there is no name that is higher. It will be pointed out that he initiated a new priesthood because the high priest laid hands on him and because his blood fell on the mercy seat of the Ark. We have authority in his name because he gave it to us. Finally, we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as an IT project manager. I have over 29 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993 when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair which, when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor in preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's End Time Issue Ministries, one word, for more information. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show on the top menu and podcasts on the drop-down for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. There are at least three podcast sites which have all the back issues. So the article that this is based on is 2010.12.12, How Did Yeshua Accomplish What He Did? There's a lot of confusion about Yeshua, incorrectly known as Jesus, is, and how he accomplished what he did. Many people believe that the only way Yeshua could have accomplished what he did and have the authority that he has is by being the Almighty in the flesh. However, this is incorrect. If Yeshua were the Almighty in the flesh, then he would have no authority on earth, and he could not have accomplished anything on earth. It is only by being entirely human that Yeshua could accomplish anything. This broadcast provides an overview of the main elements of what Yeshua accomplished and how he accomplished what he accomplished. Folks, there's so much confusion about Jesus. I wrote an article last weekend about the five big lies about Jesus. And fundamentally, if you think that Jesus is God in the flesh, that he's the living word of God, that he's the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, that he's God in human form, I can explain to you why you believe that based on inaccurate translations and interpretations in the majority of English Bibles. But the fact is that they are misinterpretations. They are erroneous translations. And the fact is that he was 100% human, and we're going to talk more about that in a minute. Before I address this issue, let me first define some terms. A, the correct name of the man commonly known as Jesus Christ is Yeshua, the Anointed of Yah. He was a Yehudite, in other words, a Jew. And therefore, his name cannot be Jesus, which is based on a Greek name, Iesus, which in Greek, which is derived from Zeus, a pagan idolatrous name, the name of a Greek god, and means blessed of Zeus. Point B, Christ relates to the outpouring or anointing of the Spirit of the Almighty on the flesh of a human being. Thus, the Spirit of the Almighty came upon Yeshua at the time that he was immersed by Yehuchanan, John. Thus, until the age of 30, Yeshua was not anointed and was not Christ. Point C, when we refer to Christ, that is to the anointing, we refer to the Spirit of the Almighty, that is the Almighty. Thus, one who is anointed will at some level have the Almighty manifest in and through him. And that point is so important to understand, folks. For those of you on the secondary mailing list, I've been sharing a string of YouTube videos on anointed people who have led revivals, who've had mighty, powerful ministries where they've ministered in tents of holding 10,000 or more people, where thousands of people have been healed through their ministry. And that's happened through the 1800s, the 1900s. I'm not sure that it's happening much now. I haven't heard much to that effect. But the fact of the matter is, it is the Spirit of the Creator in and on them that has allowed them to do that, and that is available to you and to everybody listening to this program. Point number D, the word translated God or God, uppercase or lowercase, refers to a mighty one or a mighty one, capital letters, or the Almighty. It is true that Yeshua is a mighty one, a God, but it is false to say that he is the Almighty God in with capital G. Point E. The word translated the Lord, L-O-R-D in capital letters, is Yahweh or Yahweh, meaning Yah the eternally self-existing. This is not the same as Adonai, also translated Lord or Baal, which can also be translated Lord. It breaks the third commandment to call the Almighty Lord when he, the Lord, L-O-R-D capital letters, when he has clearly stated that his name is Yah the eternally self-existing or Yahweh. Thus Yahushua is an Adonai, Lord, lowercase, but he is not the Lord, Lord, uppercase, Yahweh. Classic example of inaccurate translation. Point F. The above points give rise to great confusion. Once the above points are understood, it becomes apparent that Yeshua is a man and that he lived for 3.5 years with the Spirit of the Almighty dwelling in him and on him in a mighty way. But he is not the Almighty in the flesh or in disguise. It is blasphemy to suggest that he is. Folks, these points are so critical. If you really go and study some of my other writings, there's an article, The Essence of My Message Regarding Names, and you dig into it with a Bible, King James Version, and an interlinear and Strong's Concordance, you will find the evidence of these incorrect translations. It's not rocket science. It's there for anybody who's sincere about finding the truth. So let's look at how did Yeshua accomplish what he accomplished. Number one, he was firstborn of creation, Yah's executive assistant and messenger. He knew what to expect when he came to earth. When Father Yah, the eternally self-existing creator of the heavens and the earth, commenced with creation, the first spirit being he created was the spirit being that eventually came to earth in the body of the man we know as Yeshua, incorrectly Jesus. In this capacity, he assisted Yah as an executive assistant and messenger or chief operating officer, and at times came to earth as the messenger of Yah, the captain of the host, and in other capacities. As a consequence, when he arrived on earth in the body of a human being, he knew what to expect. He knew Satan's devices, and he knew Yah's way of doing things and Yah's plans. Thus, Yeshua, the son of Adam, in other words, son of man, was exceptionally well-informed and well-equipped for what he was called to do. And the thing to understand here is that after Satan rebelled and challenged Father to the contest and was cast down to earth, and Adam ate the fruit and therefore rebelled and gave authority on earth to Satan, and Father was asking how to Yeshua, wasn't called Yeshua in those days, how to deal with it, and they were discussing it, and he said, well, let me go to earth as a human being. Let's initiate a new covenant, and I will get authority over Satan by living a life without sin. And so a whole plan was developed, which ran for thousands of years before Yeshua came to earth. So Yeshua was the firstborn of creation. So he also fully knew what to expect and how he was to die and why it was necessary that he go through all that he had to go through. He did this by choice, knowing full well what the reward would be if he succeeded and the penalty if he failed. It is vital to understand that he chose to go through what he went through voluntarily in exchange for the promise of being king of all human kings and lord of all human lords for eternity. I've seen articles and emails talking about all the wrong that the Jews did to Jesus. The Jews killed Jesus. The Jews killed my God, and other things. Folks, Yeshua and Yah together formulated this plan of exactly how he was going to come to earth, exactly how he was going to die, exactly what happened had to happen for him to die that way. He did that to save the Jews. So turning on the Jews and saying the Jews killed Jesus and then killing Jews because they so-called killed Jesus is so fundamentally off the mark, so fundamentally wrong. So if you're thinking thoughts like that, if you subscribe to that, I really encourage you to let go of that. It's just so far off the mark. There's a detailed article on the website about the miracle of Yeshua's death. I encourage you to go and read that. Secondly, Yeshua was born of a virgin, a son of Adam, that gave him authority and no bloodline curses. In being conceived by a creative miracle in the fallopian tubes of a virgin, the being that became Yeshua was fully human, save for the absence of a male father. This miracle is minor compared to the miracle of the creation of Adam from dust and the creation of Eve, Chava, from the rib of Adam. This miracle does not in any way make Yeshua in some way more special than Adam, and therefore does not in any way make Yeshua more special than you or I. As such, it is entirely false to infer some form of sexually transmitted paternity that in some strange way makes Yeshua divine. Such thinking is a pagan abomination. If we are to follow that logic, we must impute greater divinity to Adam and therefore to the entire human race. It is therefore patently false to assign divinity to Yeshua. There's a verse in the Bible which says that the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. More correctly, the set-apart spirit of Yah overshadowed Miriam. And people take that to mean overshadowed in a carnal sexual connotation. No, 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 not so. Yah did not have sex with Miriam. Yah's spirit interacted with the ovum, the egg, in Miriam's fallopian tubes and caused it to be fertilized miraculously to become a male human being. And that's not nearly as miraculous as creating Adam from the dust of the earth. But by being born as a son of a human being and therefore a son of Adam, Yeshua had the right to redeem the authority that Adam gave to Satan. When he submitted to Satan in response to Satan's lies to Eve, Chava, and this in turn put Yeshua in a position to redeem mankind by living a sinless life and regain authority for the sons of Adam. Note that Yah gave authority on earth to Adam and told him to have dominion over all things on earth, including Satan. In this, Yeshua had exactly the same opportunity that had existed for every son of Adam before him, with the exception that he had better knowledge of his enemy, and that because he was born of a virgin, he was free of bloodline curses which passed down the male bloodline. This is so, so important to understand. When Yah created Adam, you can read it in Genesis 1, he gave all authority on earth to Adam. When Adam disobeyed and rebelled against Yah and ate the forbidden fruit, it really doesn't matter whether it was an apricot or an orange or an apple or a pear or whatever. The issue is not what the fruit was. The issue is that it was forbidden. And Adam rebelled, and in rebelling, he submitted to Satan and made Satan the mighty one, the god of this earth, and gave Satan all authority on earth. And that's why the earth is such a mess. That's why humankind is such a mess, because Satan is dominating. And it was only by living without sin that Yeshua could turn that around. Point number three, Yeshua became king because men with authority proclaimed him king. Yeshua became king simply because Herod and Pontius Pilate, respectively as king of the Judahites, the Jews, and governor in office on behalf of the Roman emperor, declared him king, even as did many others, albeit that they thought they were mocking him. The placards above the stake, or incorrectly cross, were sufficient to make him king. You'll remember that there were three placards on the cliff face above the execution site saying, "The King of the Jews," in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. So that was a declaration. The thing, a key thing of understanding Yeshua is to understand the power of words. It's written, we will be judged for every idle word that we speak. Every word that is spoken that has authority, that has the ability to do something, is extremely powerful. So when Herod said, "Hail the King of the Jews," Pontius Pilate said, "This man is the King of the Jews," and put up those signs. That declared Yeshua as King of human kings. It's not some mystical, magical thing. It's simply what some human beings did and the consequences of what they did. Then number four, Yeshua became the offering for sin because he was declared the Lamb of Yah, and he declared the bread and wine as representative tokens of his body and blood, and therefore of the sin and other offerings. Yeshua became the offering for sin simply because Yehuchanan, John, incorrectly John, meaning Yah has graced, declared Yeshua to be the Lamb of Yah at the time that Yeshua was immersed by Yehuchanan. And because Yeshua signed the bread and wine to represent his body and blood at his last meal with those who followed him. The entire reassignment of representation is simply a matter of authoritative statement. Yehuchanan, as a member of the Levitical priesthood, had the authority to proclaim Yeshua to be the Lamb, and Yeshua had the authority to proclaim that his body and blood would henceforth be represented by the bread and wine. This was vital to enable us to overcome in this age after the Levitical priesthood fell away totally after the destruction of Jerusalem, and was necessary even before that because the Ark of the Covenant had gone missing when Babylon invaded Jerusalem. Folks, again, some very simple principles. Yehuchanan, John the Baptist, proclaimed, "Behold the Lamb of Yah, behold the Lamb of God." And then at the final meal, Yeshua took the bread and said, broke the bread and said, "This is my body given for you." Took the wine and said, "This is my blood shed for you." Because Yeshua was without sin, his words had authority and had efficacy. If you say things like that and you're full of sin, etc., you've got no authority, folks. You've got to live a life without sin. Otherwise, the spirit realm is not going to pay any attention to him. And then it's so important to understand where Yehuchanan John came from. It's so important to understand that by the time of Yeshua, something like 560 years before, when Babylon fell to the, when Jerusalem fell to the Babylonians, the Ark of the Covenant disappeared. Without the Ark of the Covenant, the high priest was a fraud. He could not be properly inducted. So by the time of Yeshua, there was actually no legitimate priesthood. And then after the temple was destroyed, there clearly was no legitimate priesthood. So the Yehudites, the Jews, are really off the mark when they refuse to accept Yeshua. But the reason they don't accept Yeshua is because of the wrong teachings about Yeshua, the wrong Bible translations. Point number five, Yeshua became the offering for atonement because he was sent outside the city walls and his blood fell on the mercy seat of the ark, the container of the covenant. By laying hands on Yeshua, the high priests and people transferred their sins onto Yeshua as the scapegoat, and then they sent him outside the city walls. In addition, as discovered recently by Ron White, someone, probably Yirmiyahu or incorrectly Jeremiah, meaning whom Yah has appointed, hid the ark, the container of the covenant, in a cave under a hill known as Skull Hill, Golgotha, outside the city walls and reached by a tunnel from underneath the Temple Mount at the time of the Babylonian invasion in about 597 BC, before Yeshua. So Yeshua knew exactly where and how he had to die. Folks, this is so, so important to understand. The only way that Yeshua could become a offering for forgiveness of sin was if his blood was, if he lived a life without sin and his blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. So Yah arranged for the Ark of the Covenant to be hidden in a cave, arranged for an execution site above that, arranged for the stake where Yeshua died to be directly over the Ark of the Covenant, arranged for an earthquake crack from the foot of the stake down to the Ark of the Covenant, and then arranged for Yeshua's side to be pierced with a spear so that blood and water ran out and the blood ran all the way down onto the Ark of the Covenant. That's the only way that Yeshua was able to become the atoning sacrifice. In 1982, Ron White found the Ark of the Covenant directly under an execution site that exactly fits that described in the historical accounts known as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and found an earthquake crack through the central stake or crosshole in the rock, and found human blood without the male chromosome that had run down the earthquake crack onto the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. Folks, this is, if you go to the website, there's a section called Important Videos, and down there you'll find a video about the Ark of the Covenant. There's other material on the website about the Ark of the Covenant. Folks, it's so important to understand what I've just shared with you. Again, there's no mystical, magical thing that because he was God and because we killed him, he provided an offering for sin. No, he lived a life without sin. By prophetic assignment, he transferred the sacraments onto the bread and wine. And by his blood falling on the Ark of the Covenant, he introduced a new covenant in terms of which we had a simple and easy way of repenting of sin. It's that simple. It's that profound. Thus, the offering required for atonement of sin and also the offering required for the induction of a new priesthood were made moments after the soldier pierced Yeshua's side with a spear, and water and blood ran out and ran down the earthquake crack onto the mercy seat. The precision of Yah's planning is amazing, and recognize that Yeshua was intimately involved in that planning. From this, it is entirely certain that Yeshua knew exactly how and where he would die before he came to earth. A key thing to realize here, folks, a couple of key things. Number one, Yeshua went out of his way to get in the face of the high priests and the scribes and the Pharisees by overturning the tables of the money changers in the temple, by declaring them to be whitewashed walls, by contradicting them as far as Sabbath observance was concerned, by doing things on the Sabbath that they said were illegal, and just generally making himself an offense to them so that they would kill him. The thing to get there is that if you are a believer, it is not for you to go around getting in people's faces and offending them. Yeshua did that with a very specific objective. Doesn't apply to anybody else. That's so important to understand. The other point to understand is Yeshua died for a very specific purpose that I've just outlined to you. There is no need for any other person, any other believer, to die like that or to die at all. If you live without sin, if you pray daily, Father, I thank you that your messengers are encamped around me to protect me, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, that every tongue that rises against me in unrighteous judgment will be refuted. The forces of darkness cannot touch you as long as you are free of sin. Point number six, his name, Yeshua, means Yah is salvation, and there is no name higher than this. The man most known as Jesus was never known that way. His name was Yahushua, Y-A-H-O-O-S-H-U-A, is the most accurate transliteration of the Hebrew, which means Yah is salvation. Since there is nothing higher than the salvation of Yah, it is apparent that Yahushua is the name above all names. Again, there's not this mystical, magical Jesus is the name above all names. It's Yah is salvation is the name above all names. Fundamental difference. There is so much in what I'm sharing with you that is about the way it is languaged, about the precise language used. And that is almost completely lost in the English translations of the Bible. I believe it's lost in pretty much every translation. To some extent, it's even lost in the Greek. Bearing in mind that the Greek is a translation of Hebrew, and the Hebrew originals got destroyed because of persecution by the Jews and the Romans. So the Greek is a transliteration, a translation of the Hebrew, and it's inaccurate. Right at the beginning, the thing to understand is that the people around Yeshua did not understand what was going on. It's only in the last, 30 years, 20 years, 40 years, that we've learned about the Ark of the Covenant. Nobody knew about the Ark of the Covenant before that. They just took it on face value. And so they ascribe magical and mystical properties to Yeshua, and it's just not that way, folks. He was an ordinary human being with a very deep relationship with Father Yah. And some very specific things happened, and some very specific things were said for him to do what he did. Point number seven, Yeshua initiated a new priesthood because the high priest laid hands on him and declared him Messiah, and because his blood, the blood of the offering, fell on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. As indicated previously, Yeshua ushered in a new priesthood because the high priest laid hands on him and proclaimed him Messiah, and because the blood of the offering was placed on the mercy seat. Again, it's very simple. But understand that Father was operating in this situation to make sure that the high priest did lay hands on Yeshua and declare him Messiah. There was a whole thing about the word, the Hebrew word Messach, which means anointed, was morphed into Messiah, morphed into anointed, which actually means anointed one. Morphed into Messiah with a whole lot of foretelling of what the Messiah was going to do. So when they proclaimed him Messiah, they actually proclaimed on him a whole lot of specific so-called prophetic utterances about who he was, what he was, that he would be a priest and what have you. And he fulfilled that because they spoke it out over him. Again, it's this thing of people using words carelessly having a profound effect in this situation. Point number eight, we have authority in his name, in the name of Yeshua, because he gave it to us. Because of his life and death, all authority and in heaven and on earth was given to Yeshua. We have authority in his name because he commanded those who followed him to be his emissary, his representatives, and to go in his name. He delegated his authority to them and to all who follow them. Thus, whenever we use his name, we do so as his representatives, his emissaries, his apostles, and in his authority. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting until his enemies are made his footstool. He will do nothing now until we prepare for him and take authority on his behalf. And if no human being is ready for Yeshua to return in around 3003, which is about 982 years or 1981 years from now, which will be 7,000 years from creation, then Satan will be victorious on earth because Yeshua will have been betrayed by those he came to save. One way to hand over dominion on earth to Satan is to worship Yeshua as deity and thereby break the first and greatest commandment. Folks, it's so important to understand that if you are adamantly locked into Jesus and God and the Lord, and Jesus is God and the Bible is the Word of God, you are sinning. Because you are sinning, you are giving authority in your life to Satan. You're making Satan your God, your mighty one. And you are not serving the Almighty Creator. I'm sorry to have to be so blunt, but if you are worshiping Jesus, you are worshiping Satan. Because his name is not Jesus, his name is Yeshua. He is not Yah, he is not God. He is a servant of Yah. We are commanded to worship Yah alone. Please try and get this. Point number 9. Yeshua showed us how to live life led by the Spirit of Yah, and he petitioned for us to be given the Spirit without the intervention of other humans. From the time the Spirit of Yah came upon him following immersion, incorrectly baptism, by Yehuchanan the Immerser, incorrectly John the Baptist, Yeshua was filled with the Spirit of Yah and demonstrated to us what is possible when we are so filled. Furthermore, he petitioned that the set-apart, incorrectly, Holy Spirit, which is simply the set-apart Spirit of the Almighty in a special measure, would be given to all who asked for it in the name of Yeshua, so that we are no longer reliant on the laying on of hands or other ministry by the other human beings to receive this gift. This is so important, folks. You, yes, you, the person who's listening to me right now, can become filled with the Spirit of Yah to overflowing and walk in the power gifts, heal the sick, raise the dead, walk on water, and so forth. It's not for that man over there or that woman over there or this one here 100 years ago or 200 years ago or 30 years ago or the pastor or the priest or the imam or the rabbi or the whatever. It's there for you. You are able to live a life more powerful than Yeshua if you choose to. Yeshua is anointed with the set apart or Holy Spirit of Yah, incorrectly Christ, but so are millions of others. All of this was done in order to make a way for any and all human beings to live life in service to the Creator, irrespective of the spiritual state of other human beings. Prior to the death of Yeshua, we were dependent on there being others who had gone before as priests or prophets to induct us. After the death of Yeshua, this is no longer necessary. Yeshua died a terrible death so that we would not have to endure the torments of hell. We will be judged in terms of the way he suffered, and we will suffer if, having accepted Yeshua's gift, we treat it lightly or make a mockery of it. And calling him Jesus and saying he's God is making a mockery of it. It is a grave offense to make out that Yeshua is the Almighty in disguise, or part of a Godhead or Trinity, because it denies the full magnitude of what Yeshua achieved as a man. This is sin in addition to the sin of worshipping a man as the Almighty, which breaks the greatest commandment. Yah, the eternally self-existing, is one mighty one. You shall have no other mighty ones before him or beside him. Folks, there's a huge confusion about Christ. Christ is not an alternate name for Jesus. Christ refers to the anointing of the Spirit of Yah on a human being. Christ relates to Yah always. Sometimes when it's used in the context of the Anointed One, speaking of Jesus specifically, then Christ also relates to Yeshua. But generally, it always refers to Yah. In conclusion, in my capacity as an emissary and spokesman of Yah, the eternally self-existing, I urge you not to worship Yeshua or Jesus, or regard him as deity or part of a pagan trinity, but to esteem him greatly as an emissary, a sent one, an apostle, a prophet, one through whom the Almighty speaks, a spokesman. And man who achieved great things in his life and gave us an example that is shown the way for us to do likewise. For this reason, we can aspire to do greater works than he did. He did not say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, in the sense that I am in some mystical way the way. What he was saying is, by my example is the way. Follow my example, follow in my footsteps, do what I did. And that's there for you. I received my first power anointing alone in my bed, saying, Father, I desire to know you the way a particular anointed individual knew him that I'd been very impressed by. And Father put his hand on me, and I woke up the next morning with a powerful anointing. I prayed for somebody, and they who was highly distressed. They experienced great peace. I prayed for people. They were healed. I prophesied over people. And I achieved that without another human being being involved. There were human beings involved in the way, what I read, etc. I didn't know when I prayed that prayer that it was possible to pray that prayer. I didn't know what the answer would look like. You can do the same. You can say, Father, I desire to know you the way James Robertson knows you. Or I desire to know you the way Yeshua knew you. Or I desire to know you the way Elisha knew you. Pick somebody who had a strong or has a strong anointing, it be modern or past. Say, Father, in the name of Yeshua, I ask you to fill me with your spirit. And I ask you, I desire to know you the way name of individual knew you. The best one to go for is Yeshua. As a postscript, the biggest error crippling mature anointed believers, in fact, it's the biggest error crippling all believers. As a codicil to this article, please read the article on the website, Biggest Error Crippling Mature Anointed Believers. And on that point, I want to just stress, you're not a glove puppet. Yah is not going to take control of your life as so many people teach and believe. Yah created you to take dominion over the forces of darkness. Yah created you to exercise your intellect and ability to survive and thrive on earth, not for him to live your life for you on your behalf. You will determine your destiny when you die. It is a function of what you choose to believe and choose to do and how well you do it. So prosperity requires that you work hard, sensibly, and effectively to earn your living, and you might decide that prosperity is not really all that important to you. What you really want is a deep relationship with Father. And I'm not saying the two are mutually exclusive. You can have a deep relationship with Father and be prosperous. However, you need to work at it. Father is not going to mystically, magically magic you into prosperity. You're going to have to go out, get skills, get a job, work hard, be diligent, be honest, and so forth. There's much on the website that you can read up to take this further. So I'd like to reach conclusion by asking you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose, and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. Folks, this is such an important point. Father created the universe, the solar system, the sun, planet Earth, the animals, the plants, and you and I for one reason only, for us to be his friends. Not this one or that one or the rabbi or the imam or the pastor or the priest or the whatever. You. He wants you to become his friend. And it's absolutely doable. That's what these broadcasts are about. That's what the website is about. You can become a friend of the Creator. It's absolutely within your power to do that. Pray the necessary prayers. Make the necessary adjustments in your life. Read the article on the website, 7 Components of Drawing Close to the Almighty. So on the main menu of the website, Compendium of Important Articles, video, Why Seek Relationship, Miracle of Yeshua's Death, The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, 7 Components in Drawing Close to the Creator, Recommended Worship, The Creator's Name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, Where Will You Spend Eternity, The Essence of My Message to Christians, to Muslims, to Jews, to Other Religions, to Unbelievers. All available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's one word, End Time Issue Ministries. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio, one word, .com. Click on the show on the top menu and the podcasts on the drop-down, or search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio, in quotes. There are at least 3 podcast websites with back issues. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 until May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the Compilation of Most Writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. Keyword cloud, there's a separate web page and it's also at the bottom of most of the web pages. The table of contents is a separate page and there's also towards the bottom in the right-hand sidebar on most of the web pages. The article search and the Google search, if you just scroll down a little bit in the right-hand sidebar, the Google search is particularly powerful. There's over 2,400 articles, over 1,000 web pages, a huge amount of content covering a wide diversity of topics. May well find the answer to your questions there. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. So that's james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, you can become his friend, as I said a few minutes ago. It doesn't matter whether you are Jewish or Muslim or Hindu or Baha'i or yoga or Christian or whatever. It doesn't matter whether you are Asian or African or European or Indian or whatever. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white. It doesn't matter whether your hair is blonde or black. It doesn't matter whether you've got blue eyes or brown eyes or anything in between. It doesn't matter whether you're tall or short or rich, fat or thin, rich or poor, educated or not educated. You can become a friend of the Almighty Creator, and he will take you from wherever you are today. He will meet you where you are today. He will take you to high places with him and great esteem and honor for eternity. I encourage you to go for it.
Father, I come to you, lifting up my hands. By your grace I stand.